Hey, podcasters. Clarzy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Matt's stepdaughter makes him super proud.
Xena warrior princess Lucy Lawless in her new role.
Mel McLaughlin is in the studio to talk Manchester United.
Ooh, never call them Man City. That could be a fate worse than death.
Yeah.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5.
Hey, remember Xena?
Yes.
Xena Warrior, Warrior Princess.
For the TV. Yeah.
Well, you won't believe it, but not only the star of Xena Warrior Princess, but also a well-known Greenpeace activist and so much more, wonderful actor, a part of the new 10-part series coming to 10, My Life is Murder.
Here's
a little
feeling.
Here's a little bit of Xena for you, of course.
She was Xena, a mighty princess forged in the heat of battle.
The mighty princess is on the line, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us this morning, Lucy Lawless.
Thank you so much, everybody. Hello, Aussie.
Lucy, I was an actor in a past life and I always wanted the role of a brooding, suspicious detective. Did you find yourself getting power hungry on set?
As opposed to playing a warrior princess?
No, it feels like a step down from a warrior princess.
Yeah, no, that's right. It was completely relaxed in comparison. No, it was lovely. And lovely modern clothes. There is nothing like elastic and zippers. Wonderful.
And Lucy, of course, is the great-granddaughter of a convict. You've got a special personal insight into the workings of the criminal mind.
Why do you think I'm a convict? Oh, because of the name, Lawless.
Oh, no. Oh, you see, this is what happens.
What are you talking about?
Oh, this is Wikipedia.
This is what happens when you look at Wikipedia. It tells me here that you told The Island on Sunday that your father's family, that your great-grandfather arrived in New Zealand as a convict. Is that not true?
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. Some mischievous person is putting disinformation. I love it. I hope that I must look it up.
That was pretty good.
No, I got married to somebody called Lawless
in
Kalgoorlie.
Oh, get
really?
Out of town.
No.
1988, Kalgoorlie. That's so fascinating. I wonder who's writing my blog. I'm getting more interesting every day.
Yeah. Hey, Lucy, we talked to you in the aftermath of the Cricket World Cup. Being a Kiwi, do you care about the cricket, though?
Well, I didn't until I heard the results.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Beaten by England.
So me and the Pakistani man down on the street in New York here were commiserating.
Oh, how bizarre. Isn't that a great setting?
I've got to look for an Indian person or a Pakistani to, like, share my pain.
Yeah, because the Americans just go, what is that, some kind of weird baseball? What's going on?
Yeah.
Lucy, we are looking forward to the show My Life is Murder. Tell us a little bit about it. It obviously sounds very gripping in the title alone.
Yeah, I've been intrigued with true crime and fake crime since Miss Marple days. And so when I was approached by this young woman, she was like, let's make a crime show, but make it modern. A woman of a certain age, sexy, slightly obnoxious woman who is solving crimes. And I was like, yep, that sounds like me.
I guess, you know, obviously this is a genre that's been, you know, examined and explored many, many times. What do you think, what's the element that sets this apart?
Oh, it's just beautiful Australia.
Mm.
It looks like nowhere else. It's like real life, but a little bit better. Liken it to Miss Marple meets Sex and the City of Melbourne.
Oh, I like it already. Ooh, yeah.
It's a little bit risque and it's very lighthearted. So we're not going to cover the screen and gore. I've done that in my career. It's not about that, but it's about having a good time. For goodness sake, let's have a little bit of justice and a few laughs along the way.
Okay.
So, a lighthearted show. We take people inside these fabulous little worlds that you wouldn't be invited to, like the best party you never were invited to, and we kind of get inside. It might be the world of the PR mavens and the bad behavior that goes on in there, or the world of The Undertaker. You get to go inside some secret worlds, and it's just fascinating.
Oh, fantastic. And I notice also you've got Magda Zabanski will be appearing and Nadine Garner, who, you know, does her own thing on Dr. Blake. So she's used to that, entering that world.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so excited, and I'm excited to see how people react.
Hey, great to talk to you, Lucy. All the best. And, greetings from Perth,
thank
not that far
so
from Kalgoorlie.
Cheerio, everybody.
And I hope I wasn't out of line with the convict line.
Oh, that was great. I think you're out of line.
Xena Warrior Princess doesn't like me.
She's going to crush your skull.
I'm in trouble.
Mix 94.5.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
It's almost come to a standstill with the Red Devils in town.
Yes, you love
Man City. Did they get
Man United?
Oh, sorry. What
dare you?
Sorry. my apologies. Yeah, I'm glad you were here. Man United playing Leeds, of course, tomorrow night. You're going. You're excited. Do they get to wear the Red Devils outfit, mate?
I hope so.
Because that was ridiculous. Yeah. Glory. I don't know what's going on. But from Seven Sport, Mel McLaughlin. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Mel.
Great to be here.
How are you, mate?
I'm good. But just on the, it's really funny with the jersey because for me, I was all excited. Obviously, against the Glory. It was the gold jersey. For me, I've got an issue with too many trainers and too many Man United jerseys, but I was excited. I was like, this is awesome. And a lot of people went, oh, it's beige. What did they wear that for?
Yeah.
And so I've missed the point. But the red will be there against Leeds.
It has to be against Leeds.
Yeah. Well, of course, we have got you here to talk about Man U and Leeds game, but is it okay, because I'm not, this isn't my specialty area, is it okay if the boys talk about it with you while I look at pictures of your new puppy?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, sweet.
Take it away, guys.
Well, Mel, I mean, I love dogs.
I want to see the dog.
I'm not anti-dogs, by the way. I'm just more pro-Manchester United.
Correct.
Yep. And I watched you the other night, living the dream for me, chatting to Brian Robson. That's Kimber looking at Mel's puppy. And
he's
that's
George.
How I felt when I saw you interviewing Brian Robson.
Oh, I thought she said Brian Robson was cute.
Legend.
He's cute. That's a cute
dog. Oh, he is
look
quite
at that
cute,
dog.
Actually.
Sorry, talk about the sport.
That's gorgeous. Yeah.
Well, you've got a beautiful dog here as well.
Bella. Yeah, she's all right.
She's a dreamboat.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the question? Yes,
Brian Robson. I had him on my wall
Captain
as a kid.
Marvel.
Oh, my goodness me.
I've still got Eric Cantona on my wall at mum and dad's house.
The collar up.
My dog. Dog who's died now, but Eric Cantona is what his name was.
Oh, really?
I had the number plates. Very sad.
You're actually a fan.
Now it's creepy. Yeah.
Okay.
I was born into it. I didn't have a choice. My dad's English, and his parents are Irish. So, you know, it's a huge fan base there. So he was there in 1968 when they lifted the European Cup.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Could I have been a worse company to be around when I slipped and said Man City?
No.
You didn't even introduce me and I just nearly choked. So, what? No. That's okay. Just the one time.
Yeah.
Of course. No, but I've seen grown men cry over Brian Robson. But, yeah, I know I'm very lucky. They were here in 2013 in Sydney. So I interviewed him and Dennis Irwin then. And then, obviously, a couple of years ago they were here, the Legends, which I believe you had plenty
to do with. I trained with them, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. But this is the best. It's the first team and they're playing with respect. It was amazing to see them take on an A-League side, which is fantastic. We're all proud, obviously, of our local, of our league. But Leeds, there's a huge rivalry, obviously, plenty of expats here as well as locals that are Leeds fans, United fans. So there's plenty of feeling and there'll be a lot of attention from around the world on it as well.
And unlike the Legends didn't score and these boys have already against Glory. So
yes, exactly. yeah, that's right.
Well, a great
super
spectacle,
friendly.
Isn't it? I mean,
the
world's
biggest
football
club.
This is no friendly match, everyone's telling me. They say
there's a huge rivalry, long history as well, and these teams haven't played each other in a while, and Leeds nearly got promoted back up to the Premier League and they blew it late on in the championship. I think it's been 8 years or something like that since they've actually faced off, and Leeds knocked them out of the FA Cup, which was a massive upset in about 2010, something like that. So, yeah, there's history there. And plenty of Aussies because of Harry Kewell and Mark Viduka. Love Leeds. So
it'd be nice to see a pretty tough challenge early in the first 2 or 3 minutes. You know they'd be nice to see.
There might be
friendly.
A bit of that. Bit of feeling.
There was
a bit of feeling as well. Like the Glory players didn't take any backward steps. So
right, okay.
Which, yeah.
It's going to be a big night after the game, isn't it? Yikes.
Yes.
Look out on the town.
The Canfield may explode, the Canfield.
Yeah.
Well, at Crown, that's where obviously they're staying. All of us are staying there. Not Leeds. Leeds are staying in the city, but you know, United fans just everywhere, just hoping for an autograph or, you know, just a glimpse of, you know, the manager, Solskjaer, he's a legend in himself. Michael Carrick, an assistant coach, he's a legend. So everywhere you look, there's big, big names and people very excited.
Yeah.
Got any more dog questions?
That is look, he's real cute though. Nice. I like
George.
He's
a ringer.
He's sweet.
There you go. Very good. Hey, Mel.
I learned something.
We're going to catch it all live. It's Manchester United and Leeds, of course. live and free on 7 Mate from 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night, and we'll get the full rundown from
Matt as well.
I'll be
there. No doubt. I'll be there.
Enjoy.
Yeah, good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Oh.
Every morning I get up too early. It makes me surly getting up that early. Matt's World.
Okay, so as I said, you know, a little over 6 months into my tenure as a stepfather for the first time in my life.
Sounds like a job.
It's a labour of love to a wonderful little girl. I call her my Steppy D.
Yep, still in the gig. That's good.
Still in the gig. And as we're at sort of report card season, I thought I'd look at a good hard look at myself at what I've done and what I've achieved. And I'd give myself, you know, solid C.
Oh, C average. That's not much.
Yeah.
Sure, it's not higher
No,
than that?
Well, I mean, I haven't quite reached the heights of Mr. Brady.
Right. Okay,
on the Brady Bunch, but I'm not Homer Simpson.
Oh, my.
You're satisfactory.
I'm doing okay. I'm doing my best.
Step parenting.
You're being a bit tough on yourself.
Well,
at the moment,
you know, I think you have to be. Train like your number.
Okay.
You know, when you're number one, train like your number two.
I would have thought it'd be minus guy, but.
And someone gave me some advice, and Claire, I'm sure you can relate to this.
Mm.
Just get interested in what they're interested in.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? As a way of connecting. And, of course, you're lucky because you and your boys share a love of music together, don't you?
Yeah, music and coffee.
Music and coffee.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And my mate Boogie, I remember he got interested in, he was never really a car person, but his boy got interested in cars. So he just thought, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm gonna become interested in cars. And they share a wonderful relationship talking about cars.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Steppy D's, you know, got various interests, and I thought, well, I'll give it a go. And, and one of those things is she's quite interested in, I guess you call them YouTubers
on the
internet, right?
Yeah.
And there's I mean, it's some of it's hard to watch.
Oh, lots of it is hard to watch.
Yeah, I mean, there's one that's like a Project Zorgo or something.
And are these kids? Performers?
Well, these are sort of young adults, you'd call them.
Right.
And I really try.
They're extremely influential with the kids.
They certainly are. And it's loud and it's like, subscribe, subscribe.
Yeah, and the acting. If you have to watch any of those things on YouTube where they're acting, it's just awful.
Yeah, but I've gone all in. You know,
I've
gone in. I even got us some merch.
Oh, did you really? So you did subscribe.
Oh, I really am going for it. I'm doing my best.
What a guy.
Let's be honest. So I'm trying.
Right, good man.
But yesterday we had a breakthrough.
Did you really?
Steppy D comes in.
Yeah.
And she goes, hi. She goes, I think I want to play soccer.
Really?
And I thought to myself, Dictinsky, it's time to shine.
This is your moment.
Wow. I got all excited. I started showing her YouTube videos of Maradona's goals from the 1986 World Cup.
Sure. You can't actually take her down the park and kick her or do anything, can you?
Oh, yes.
Have you got skills?
Excuse me.
He's a goalkeeper from way back.
Oh, sorry.
We went down the park.
Yeah?
We went down the park for some training yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and Steppy D said, and I'm quite, you know, encouraging and supportive. No, sweetheart, just try and trap the ball. And she said, no, I want you to be tough.
Oh, really? Ah. Okay.
Right, and so I was sort of playing the part, going, come on, better than that, you can do that. And that's when another parent was walking past. And I know how I would have thought.
You've been judged.
I was being like, you know, the Williams father or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah,
one
you
of those
would try to make him play tennis. Yeah, like, flat out.
You're an F minus.
Oh, they would say, oh, I saw this horrible father at the park pushing his daughter. Anyway, I'm super pleased.
Oh, well
that's
done.
That's great news.
Soccer.
Did you bring up Maradona's hand of gold or whatever that?
No, I didn't want to burst the bubble too early.
When do you take it a PlayStation to, you know?
Oh, the World Cup.
That's the
dream. The World Cup.
Get her playing FIFA with me.
Yeah.
Oh, don't. I'm getting shivers.
What if the next Sam Kerr on her hands?
Oh, I hope
never
so.
Know. Hey, love it.
Matt's World. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Hey guys, I did mention to you that I got a phone call in the holidays from my brother.
Yeah.
My little brother, I call him. He's the same age as you, Matt. So yep. He's 49. Just turned 49. So you're almost identical ages.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things you mention and the things you reference are very similar to what my brother would talk about.
Yes.
He loves his music, plays a bit of guitar and all the rest of it. So I get this phone call a week ago whilst I'm in holidays from my brother on holes. And he rings me and we have this chat for about half an hour, I reckon, maybe 45 minutes. He goes, I need to tell you something that happened to me last Thursday. I go, okay. He goes, I just want to tell the people who I care about, the people I love, that something happened to me. I nearly died.
Oh, what?
And I went, sorry? He goes, so he, like many people across Australia, he's in Queensland, right? He goes, everyone in Queensland's had the flu and many people are getting it two or three different strains. So they don't get healthy. Can be
yeah.
that
oh,
well.
I swear I got a cold the second week after I'd already been getting over the first cold. That's like right. I can't.
So he
can't
was having a little trouble breathing by the time he got to his second or third bout of cold, flu, whatever it might have been, right? And so he went to the doc and he basically got the sort of your Ventolin, your puffer. He got the upgraded one from the doc. He said, this will help you with your breathing along with everything else. So he said he was feeling a bit better, but he got that and that made him feel a bit better. So he used this Ventolin twice. Anyway, he was doing the dishes after dinner on the Thursday night, and he said all of a sudden it felt like his heart was going to beat out of his chest.
Oh.
He said his heart rate not only increased in rate, but it went nuts.
Oh. Yes.
And he felt like he was going to fall down. So he went to the bedroom and lay in his bed. He said his heart was beating so quickly that he managed to grab his mobile phone at the time. He thought, I might need this.
Yes.
He lay on his bed. He said the heart was beating so quickly, it was rocking him across the bed.
Oh, that makes me feel sick.
It was bouncing him on the bed. Oh. He said, it was so incredible. So he managed to get hold of the AMBO service and they said, what's your address and what's going on? So the person on the line, the operator, was saying, can you please tell it, try and count your heartbeats, even if you go for 10 seconds and count the beats. He said the beats were so quick he lost count, losing count.
Yeah.
So the AMBO sent an ambulance out, but because he's got some gear in his house, you know, he's a muso, he has gates on the front of his house. They couldn't get in.
Oh.
So they went to the neighbor. They rang him back and said, the ambulance is out the front of your house. And meanwhile, he's bouncing around the bed with his heart rate that won't slow down. Yeah. They said, we can't get in. They said, can you come to the gate and unlock it? He said, no, I might be dying. So they get hold of his neighbor, I think his name was Stanley. Right?
Yeah.
So Stanley jumps the fence, gets into Paul's house and grabs the keys and then lets the AMBOs in.
Okay.
They realize immediately that his heart rate is bouncing between 190 and 204 beats a minute.
Yeah.
Like it's going nuts. Yeah. Right? And they said, there's only two things we do. Stanley's holding his hand. So they wheel him out to they couldn't get him in the ambulance head. They have to call the heart specialist. So a second AMBO rolls up with a heart specialist.
Yes.
They said, I can't remember the name of it. There's a maneuver they have to do to get the heartbeat back to normal.
Yep.
And they said, what we do is we give you this empty syringe and you have to blow into it like you're blowing the end out.
Yep.
And he said, you blow into that. We can only attempt this three times. And what we'll do is we'll lift your legs up above your head. So he goes,
oh my God.
He's blowing like his life depends on it. They lift his legs up and his heart's still going nuts. Not 190 to 204. They try a second time and it still doesn't work. And they said,
no.
We're in a bit of trouble if this doesn't work the third time. They've been quite frank with him, right?
Yeah,
so he's Stanley holding the hands with Stanley thinking, I might die. He said, Stanley's got this look on his face like my neighbour's about to die on me. So they do it the third time and bang, and his heart goes back to normal rate.
Yes.
He says the most incredible thing he's ever been through. And he goes to hospital. They take him to hospital. They do all the tests. And they say there's nothing wrong with his blood and there's nothing wrong with his ticker.
No.
They said it's purely what was there's something to do with this medication that was in his Ventolin. In his puffer.
Well, as I've told you that I have a thing called SVT, which is sinoventricular tachycardia, where my one part of my heart starts to beat that crazy.
Yeah,
and I know that technique about blowing in the syringe.
Yep.
And I've been told by my cardiologist it's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, you haven't got damage.
My goodness, it's uncomfortable when it happens.
Yeah. So
this
he was
whole
scared.
Conversation's making me like
anxious. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so my brother's son, he's fine.
He's my son. Yeah. So his son is a cyclist who's actually ridden for Australia. And he said, Dad, 204? I've ridden for Australia. I've never been up there. And I said, yeah, but he's so fit. His resting heart rate's probably 25.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Little bugger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said, he's ringing me to tell me he's okay, but I said, you just imagine the scene where Stanley's holding your hand in the driveway. He goes, this 60-year-old neighbour of mine thinking I'm going to die. I'm looking at him going, the last face I want to see. I said, you want it to be someone hot or your mum, wouldn't you, really?
Stanley.
Stanley on your hand.
Oh,
so,
wow.
All is well.
Oh,
wow.
Good.
Make
good,
sure
good.
You've got easy access for emergency services.
I'm so glad from Perth. He didn't ring me from Brizzy to Perth when he was going through it.
No.
He told me he was okay.
Oh, great.
Yeah, all is good. I thought of you, Matt, with your heart.
Oh, yeah. Look after your ticker.
Look after the ticker. There's nothing wrong with these.
Can we never talk about hearts again?
Sure. I was sympathetic to you, Kim, but I didn't play the heartbeat sound effect.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber.
The juice.
Oh, do tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Unbelievably, it has been 25 years since Friends premiered on our screens. That's basically the way I tell my age now. I can't believe it's been that long.
And it's only been 21 minutes since it was last on the TV.
It's true. Yeah. It's still good, though. I watched it just over the holidays. I was like, you know what it feels like on Friday night? Friends night. And I played a few ads.
I wonder if Jennifer Aniston sits down and watches episodes.
Maybe.
It was very good.
It's a great show.
Very clever, yeah.
And now to celebrate this anniversary, Pottery Barn is releasing a line of furniture inspired by the show.
Oh, really?
Which might sound a bit strange. The whole line is going to have some accessories, furniture, tabletop items. They'll even have central perk mugs.
Right.
But I think the big one is the replica of the apothecary table.
Right.
Which actually got its own table. Well, it was his own storyline, basically, in season 6, which was the one where Rachel went and bought this apothecary table from Pottery Barn, and Phoebe hated it because it was a brand new piece.
Right.
And it got its own moment.
It did.
It's my new apothecary table. It's the real thing. I got it at Pottery Barn.
Yeah, and you can shop the whole collection of Friends' stuff on July 30. Prices start at $12.50. I have no idea what they go up to. I can't even imagine.
Apothecary. Yeah, related to Wayne Carey.
Oh, dear.
Sorry.
It's a pretty early product placement going on, isn't it?
Later, guys.
Yeah, see you, mate.
See you, mate. Thanks for coming.
2 days back. Well done.
Yeah. Now, Australian actor Richard Carter has died age 65 following a brief illness. Richard was known for his roles in TV in Australia, White Collar Blue, Blue Murder, Wild Side. He was an esteemed actor, a storyteller, and someone who touched the lives of many, and was in The Great Gatsby, Mad Max, Fury Road, lots of different things. His voice could also be heard in films like Happy Feet 1 and 2 and television commercials for Victoria Bitter and Toyota.
A hard-earned thirst needs a big cold beer. Then, much later in the evening, a kebab. It's amazing how a kebab always seems to magically appear somewhere between see you later and honey, I'm home. And if she doesn't kill you the next day, the garlic sauce will.
Oh, what a great voice, too.
What a voice, and we know it so well. So, yeah, lots of actors in Australia coming out and saying he was wonderful to work with and very sad to see him go.
He had a great career. Mm. One of those faces that if you don't recognise the name, you go, of course.
That bloke in the movies.
Yeah.
And, guys, Paul McCartney invited a special guest on stage during the last show of his Freshen Up tour in LA over the weekend, Ringo Starr.
Hey!
The two of them hugged, and a very stripped-down drum kit was wheeled out for Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and Helter Skelter.
The one and only Ringo Starr! Peace and love, everybody! I love you, man!
There you go. The two of them did play together in 2014 at the Grammys.
Right.
So it hasn't been that long, but it's a little bit between drinks.
Yeah,
you know? And that stadium, Dodger Stadium, where they played, is where the Beatles ended up playing their penultimate show in August 1966.
Candlestick Park.
Because they simply couldn't hear themselves play.
That was pointless. So much screaming going on.
Yeah. And, Clazy, something else.
Oh, okay, this voice.
You're a vampire, Michael. My own brother, a goddamn fucking vampire. Well, you wait till Mom finds out, buddy.
Okay. Does anyone know the name of that child star, former child star?
Is it Corey Feldman?
It's Corey Feldman.
That was from The Lost Boys. He was also in The Goonies.
Yes.
How old is Corey Feldman today? Closest to the pin.
47. 48.
He's 48!
Hey! Oh.
Kimber has a win. Well done. Everyone's a winner on the juice.
Wow, that is your daily juice.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'm sure he'd be getting ready to climb Everest at that age.
He might be.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clazy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist.
Tuesday.
She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
What a thought went into that one, Paulie.
Oh, yes. A Belgian man, Jimmy Dufresne. You know him?
Oh, no, no. Is he related to Andy?
Andy Dufresne?
Andy yeah.
Dufresne?
I don't know.
Shawshank Redemption?
That was the character in Shawshank.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not sure, but he's a 48-year-old Belgian, and he's decided he's sort of reached that age, that midlife crisis age. I've got to do something. I've got to do something to make me mark.
Oh, yeah.
Got to get a tattoo. Got to get a tattoo Guzman
from Guzman and Gomez, or be one of those idiots lining up to climb Mount Everest.
He wanted to have a legacy, did he?
Yes.
Did that happen while we were on holidays?
Yeah, I think so. We were still here.
All these investment bankers who decide they need to climb Everest to sort of, you know, as a...
Something happens to you, though. You reach a point in your life, you think, I don't know if I'm living.
I'm going to spend 80 grand and go and get up in a queue on Everest.
What a pity that our bucket list never includes sort of just being better at being a person.
No, what about Mr. Dufresne?
Anyway, I do digress. So Jimmy Dufresne, he's actually in training at the moment to be a bus driver. And he thought, well, hang on a minute, I've got a new skill here, sitting down.
Sure.
That I'm developing. Oh. So I might use that to try and break the world record of sitting on a toilet for 165 hours. Don't you know, it's your chance.
Holding on for one more day.
Song, yeah.
Why
yeah.
is he on the bathroom, on the toilet for so long?
Well, to break the world record, Kimba, because he wants to make his mark.
Oh, God.
We've all made our mark in the toilet, but he wants to do it in public.
Mate,
right?
You've made your mark. You just played Wilson Phillips on the radio.
Yes, I did. and so he's set up in a cafe in Ostend Belgium, which is just near rear end. And which is, you know, maybe this is something for our local cafe scene that's struggling at the moment to get some punters in.
Yeah.
Have some, you know, people like Jimmy trying to break world records live in the cafe.
So they set up a separate toilet in the cafe.
In the cafe.
Oh, he's not just in the loo.
It's not plumbed.
He's not just in a tiny, depressing room just sitting with him and his own odours.
No, he's not in our studio, no.
How many hours did you say he was on it?
165.
So did he go to the bathroom?
Let me get to the end of the story.
Well, you're telling me it's not plumbed.
Okay. So
to get a room?
Ironically, he was given a 5-minute break each hour so he could go to the toilet.
Go to the toilet. It's hilarious.
Allow the story to unfold in its natural time.
I had too many questions.
Anyway, he's failed. He's failed. He made it to 116 hours.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know, surprisingly, it was very difficult, that he found his legs were getting tired.
Yeah.
But he does hope that he's still beaten a record, an unofficial record of 100 hours.
You know, you and I could play a whole series, a world series of stick cricket on the toilet in that time.
He's a lightweight. I could nail that record.
No, you'd get
easy.
numb legs. It'd be like, you know, DVT.
Work your way through it.
That comes with it. That's what Nick Nat's got.
You've got to get through Dufresne.
The funniest part of that, I've got to say, from sitting here observing that, was that you're telling Kimber to stay on track and you started talking about Everest. That was hilarious.
Life.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
And today on Channel 9, of course, the Today Show Perth is hosted by Louise Momber. She's on the line right now, friend of the show. Lou, good morning.
Good morning, team. How's it going?
Yes, we're well, thank you, Louise. I hope you are too. And, of course, the whole town is buzzing over one story, and probably the only person in Perth who has no idea what we're about to talk about is Kimber Cahill.
Kimber Cahill.
I cannot wait to discuss this with you on live television at 8 a.m, Louise, because I really know my stuff.
Nick.
Yes, I know you do.
Yeah, Natanui.
She's an expert in Nick Nat.
Yeah, not only am I an expert in football, but also in human biology. And I know all about his condition.
Well, that's exactly why we chose you to be the person that spoke about Nick Natanui this morning. Yeah. We wanted to go to the best, to the expert who could walk us through this ankle injury that he has, which we know might put him out for the rest of the season, Kim, but you obviously have some tight scientific knowledge of what it's actually meaning for him and the extent of the damage.
Absolutely, and I'll have that for you at 8 a.m. for sure. I'll check my team, we'll check with their team to see what I'm legally allowed to say.
Hey, Lou, this is very handy. Yes. Kimber did study for 4 years on Nick Natanology at UWA, so he's an expert.
Oh, well, that's perfect then. You're absolutely ideal to talk to us about it. Just be aware, I might be crying while we discuss it.
Oh.
It's a heartbreaking situation for all Eagles fans, so you're going to have to count counsel me through it, Kimber, because it's an emotional time.
It's going to be okay, Louise. We'll get through.
Thank you. And as he did last time he came back with such force. It just looked incredible. Oh. It's very sad for him.
No, I can't get my head around it. He's only just come back 3 games in. Second knee reconstruction, and now he's staring down the barrel of missing his fourth finals campaign. We'll be discussing that all morning. It is the story that everyone is talking about in Perth.
Except Kimber. Such a talent and such a good man as well. But he's copped a lot of bad luck. But we will talk more about that, and you will on the telly as well.
So. Awesome. See you then, Louise. Yeah.
Thanks, Kimber.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.